You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is November the 9th, 2020. I know I thought about starting today with There's No Joy in Mudville. Of course, the line from Casey at bat when Casey struck out and was expecting him to win. But there is still joy. There's still great possibility. There's still things that could happen. The media, of course, over the weekend immediately started calling the election for Trump. But I'll remind you. Did I say calling for Trump? Of course I did. No, they didn't say that. They said they're calling the election for Biden. But I remind you, they don't decide, even if Trump had won. There are still legitimate questions about the voting and vote counting. And there's that Joseph Stalin quote, at least attributed to Stalin. Is it really his? But basically, we'll get into that a little bit later. But is it true that you don't have to worry so much about the voters, you have to worry about who counts the votes? How about a pick 'em up? Let's go back to November 9, 2016, about 3:30 a.m. in the morning, Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory, and I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely.
Yes, that was President Trump. About 3:30 in the morning, Central Time, November 9th, 2016, after Hillary conceded. And he called for unity. Do you remember how all the left, the mainstream media, Hillary, they all gathered together and said, yes, let's go together in harmony, sing kumbaya? They never did. The resist movement started that night. There was no honeymoon period for Trump. But now watch what's going to happen with the mainstream media this time around. The honeymoon will go on and on and on, and they're still looking, of course, to move Biden aside and put Kamala in. And she's making history as the first woman on a major ticket, now elect VP, not officially confirmed yet. That's a big point. We still have to have all this confirmation. And after the states and after the challenges, when all the votes are truly counted, the legitimate ones are kept, the illegals are thrown out, all the issues about possible voting irregularity, even involving software that transferred, reportedly, votes for Trump to Biden, and then all the mail-in ballots that suddenly came in from everywhere. When all that's resolved, it may still come back to President Trump. Senator Cruz says this is not the time to give up. And in fact, Senator Lindsey Graham says, even if it comes down to, quote, Biden winning, Trump should not step aside. He should start preparing right now for 2024 with either him leading the ticket or helping lead the charge, lead the movement that he started. And by the way, when you look at the vote totals for Biden and Trump, I've got a really big question about those numbers. Joe Biden, who spent most of his time in his basement, no enthusiasm. Do you remember the enthusiasm for Obama when he first ran? Are you aware of the differences in the numbers of vote totals? There's a story just there. We'll get into that. We'll get into the issue of the Electoral College Oh, and the rioting. Where's the rioting? Oh, that's right. Conservatives did not go out on the street and start throwing things through windows, although some members of the left were still rioting, attacking police as well. And the coronavirus vaccine. Suddenly Pfizer says we have a vaccine. It's 90% effective. And there's stories and suggestions that they had that last week, but they didn't want to say anything before the election. We've got a lot to cover. Make sure your family and friends join us. I appreciate you spreading the word. We are going to have a lot of material to cover over the next 2 hours. You can't blink. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. To the rock, out on my knees, I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I sought this office to restore the soul of America, to rebuild the backbone of this nation, the middle class, and to make America respected around the world again. And to unite us here at home, it's a task, the task of our time.
Joe Biden, Saturday night, basically declaring I'm the winner, but saying, oh, we'll wait. But he said, I ran because I want to bring everyone together. We're all going to be unified going forward. Michelle Obama also going out and making some speeches encouraging the same thing. But many on the left say, no, we're not going to unify with any of those deplorables. We're going to fight them tooth and nail still, because we have a big election coming up in Georgia, 2 Senate seats. That's where the power struggle now lies, regardless of what happens with the presidential recount and judicial operations, investigating numerous allegations. We're going to get into that in all great detail a little bit later as we move through the hour and this next hour as well. But Joe Biden saying, I'm going to unite the country by governing as an American president. You do know states are still counting ballots. Some of the key states still waiting. Just those votes alone, will they turn the election? No. If those states still counting all went to Trump, it still wouldn't turn it until you start looking at some of the votes and states that went to Biden and start investigating how those votes came in. How were they seen? How were they evaluated? You're going to hear from Ted Cruz a little bit later in this hour about the issues that have to be resolved. But for now, the media has already coronated Biden. and Kamala Harris. And yet they still have problems, as he's speaking about unity, inside the party, even inside the Oval Office when he has Kamala inside, because she, keep in mind, is seen by the progressive left as their candidate since Bernie didn't make it. Biden put her on the ticket. That supposedly helped him win, if he did. And she has a job and a mission ahead of her. First to move Joe aside and become the president. So it's not all peaceful and loving and kissing. Joe Biden is going with a target on his back from his own party and members of his own party. Now, you can say, well, real Democrats, they're not for that. They are for what happened, and they want to see it go through with Joe Biden and Kamala. We're glad to have her there, but we don't want to go down that socialist road. I told you the other day that already, after some of the congressional seats and Congress, the Democrats did not hold Congress as they expected. They still have the majority numbers, but they were the losers overall in the congressional races. And one congresswoman nearly escaped being defeated in Virginia, and this Democrat congresswoman said, never let us again speak about defunding police and socialism. Those two things cost us a lot of good people. She's talking about other Democrats in the House that got defeated because majority of Americans, even inside the Democrat Party, recognize what Harris would do if she gets to be president and what they will be pushing Joe Biden to do. And Joe Biden's already said, we're gonna have a new Green Deal, we're going to do this and do that. I think he may be just saying that to kind of appease them, keep them at bay. But if he doesn't deliver on it, they will find a way to remove him, I will guarantee you. And all these people in the streets the other night celebrating, I have not seen that many, quote, identified as Democrats in the streets waving U.S. flags as I did over the last weekend and watching all of this. In fact, I saw few, if any, Black Lives Matter flags. Certainly didn't see any Blue Lives Matter flags. But I saw U.S. flags waving and held by men and women and those of different color. Wonder how that fits with the cancel culture group and Kaepernick and the rest of them. Suddenly it's in vogue to wave the U.S. flag again if you're a Democrat. I have a lot of good Democrat friends. They have always been for this nation. They want what's best for this nation. And we can have some differences and disagreements. And I know some that voted for Trump because they did fear going down that socialist road, and they still do. They care about the country and where we go. They're not just giving it lip service, as we hear from some of those on the left. But then you also have some on the left who they're not holding back at all. In fact, AOC, of course, leading the left-wing flank of progressives in the House, is criticizing those Democrats who said, you want to blame me and our call for socialism and defunding police and the Green Deal? You want to blame us for you losing those seats? She said, that's because you have outdated Democrat National Committee campaign tactics and you made a lot of Democrats sitting ducks. Don't blame progressives. In nearly an hour-long interview published by the New York Times over the weekend, she rejected the notion expressed by some Democrat members of Congress that their calls for progressive policies like defund the police and Green New Deal cost seats. She said, don't blame us. No, they're going to have a battle even inside. And here's something else from the New York Times while I'm on it. I tell you, I get this every morning when I wake up. I just put myself through it. It's kind of like a cold shower in the morning. It'll wake you up, all right. Here's a New York Times letter from David Linehart. Comes into my box every day. And here's the question. Good morning. Was Joe Biden the only Democrat who would have beaten President Trump? Then they got a picture of Kamala and Joe wearing masks, bumping fist. And he says the Biden bump. He said if Democrats had nominated any candidate other than Joe Biden, President Trump may well have won re-election. It's impossible to know for sure, he says, but Biden won the states that decided the election narrowly by 2 percentage points or less in Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, according to current vote counts. Well, let's stop right there. Those states, 2 points or less, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, are we exactly where we have a lot of questions about what was being done. Pennsylvania not allowing Trump monitors to be in position where they had meaningful access to see how the votes were being tabulated. What was the date on the ballots they were opening that came in the mail? Were the signatures matching up or not? Were they being properly tabulated? The big questions in Pennsylvania. Wisconsin, they suddenly seem to have more voters voting than they had residents and voters registered. I don't mean registered, I mean even possible. That's still being decided. Arizona is another big question. How could Trump win Florida with so much a Latino vote and Arizona, which is also heavy Latino, he didn't win that it was that close? And don't forget, that was the one state that Fox News, yes, Fox News, quickly called early in the evening saying it's going to Biden while ignoring for 3+ hours that Florida had already gone to Trump, and they never mentioned it. They just felt it was too close to call. And Nevada is another issue as well. There's a whistleblower that was on the inside on the vote count in Nevada, and he says, I got things I will testify to. But the other thing that exists with Biden and what we've seen happen, he wants to claim we have a mandate. You ain't got no mandate, Joe. You don't have it. By the way, when you're looking at how our nation is seen by other countries, you got Joe Biden saying, we're going to bring everybody together again. We're going to make everyone happy. Well, Iran is very happy because if he lifts the sanctions that Trump put on them, if they redo the deal that Obama put in place, Iran will be very, very happy. Russia, by the way, Russia is saying, well, we haven't called to congratulate Biden because we want to wait and see the final results. They're willing to wait, more so than many in this country. And then you've got China, Beijing. I'm looking at a piece written by Grant Newsom, originally published by the Asian Times. Grant is a member of the Center for Security Policy. We often hear from the CEO of that group, Fred Flights. Let me read you just a few lines from this article written by Grant Newsom, titled, Biden Restoration Calls to Rejoice in Beijing. The opening line, there is no shortage of officials, companies, Wall Street firms eager for a return to pre-Trump softly, softly policies on China. And then he points out something I think is extremely interesting. He said there were, a month before a letter was released, showing that many in the Beijing government was looking forward to a buildup in the future. A month before that got circulated in China, a retired U.S. diplomat, Susan Thornton, gave a speech in Shanghai telling the audience, you're going to have to wait for the next election before things could be righted between the U.S. and China. He points out that she had nearly become the State Department's top Asian official in 2018, but was then accused of being too soft on China, and they jettisoned her. And yet within a year retiring, she had gone to China, instructed the PRC, the Chinese government, People's Republic of China, how to foil American policy. Just wait a while, and those nasty people who are upsetting you will be gone and replaced by more flexible, nuanced people to whom you are accustomed. Now, granted, this is an article, a column. But the source again is Grant Newsom with the Center for Security Policy, retired U.S. Marine colonel. He's saying China is very happy and excited. And not only that, many businesses in this nation are excited if Trump's out of the way, because being tough on China and trade, that costs them business. They want to get back into it. And, of course, you have to remember that we don't have anything done until we have the Electoral College vote. And I had someone last night saying, I am absolutely incensed about the Electoral College. I'll explain that. And also, Ted Cruz, remember? Senator Cruz served as a lawyer for Bush in the Bush-Gore battle when they started disputing what happened in Florida. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In the course of 36 days, we had multiple cases throughout the state of Florida. It went twice to the Florida Supreme Court. It went twice to the U.S. Supreme Court. It took 36 days to resolve, and we got an answer. I would expect a similar process to play out here, despite the media trying to tell everyone, give up, go home, we know who we want to win. That's not how it works. We need to follow the law, and that means allowing the legal process to play out.
That is Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. And as I said before we went to the break, he, of course, was part of the team fighting for Bush against Gore when the counts were disturbing coming out of Florida and going back and validating. And remember the hanging chad. Bottom line was it had to be adjudicated. We have several cases that are open right now that we need to fully investigate. I'm going to get into those more in the next segment. But this central point is the media does not declare who the winner is. And in fact, there will not be any decision made on the winner until the Electoral College meets. That's December 14th, I think. So I'm talking to a friend last night, and they were absolutely incensed that how did Hillary Clinton get on the Electoral College? Well, therein lies a very interesting point. See, each state appoints electors according to its legislature. Legislature has to be equal in the number of congressional delegation. The federal office holders cannot be electors, so you can't have them. So you have 538 electors. That's where you come up with the 270 or more to make sure that you can elect a president, vice president. Now, the point being here, Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution says electors cannot be a member of Congress or hold federal office, but the individual states can figure out anything else. And often what happens, the state legislatures, which are responsible for choosing electors, they do it in different ways from state to state. Many times they simply appoint electors, other states let citizens decide in a vote. And yes, many times the top of the Electoral College party group coming from a particular state might well feature prominent politicians. As long as not holding a federal office, they can do that. Such as in New York State, Andrew Cuomo is on the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton, who said we should get rid of it. She's on the electoral because she is someone of prominence, and they're going to make sure they put her in there as well. But what about the common people? Well, after all these pieces are apportioned down and given to all the ranking and VIPs and special people you want to kind of reward for past or maybe future service, put it that way, service for our party, well, then we'll add some of the more, the others, depending on how many we have. Now, again, we only get as many as we have electors within our state. We only get the, as I said a moment ago, you only get the bottom line of the each state getting its equal to its number of congressional delegation. So that's why Hillary is on. And that did incense my friend, and I understand that. But Republicans do the same thing in their states where they control it. There's nothing wrong with that. Where we might have the rub is before we get to the Electoral College, how some of these votes were tabulated and basically possibly manufactured. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're hearing lots of allegations of a dead person voted. We heard a report from one county in Michigan where the election software mistakenly counted 6,000 votes that were cast for Donald Trump. It switched them to Joe Biden. Now, they apparently caught that. But that same software is used in 47 counties throughout Michigan. That needs to be examined to determine that there's not a problem counting the votes. And the legal process is how you resolve those questions.
That is, of course, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, Republican. He's helping lead the push to make sure all the votes that are legal are counted. And that's a big difference from what the Democrats have been saying. We want all votes counted. Well, of course you do. The word legal does not fit inside your vocabulary. We want all the votes. No, we want the legal votes counted. And there's an issue there. It's one that you have to say, how the hell is this going? I'll be very direct. How the hell is this going on in this day and age? How could it possibly happen? We still have four states counting right now, four states, Alaska, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina. And among those that have already been counted and supposedly tabulated, there's some big questions about some of them. And we're going to get into more details of that on the mail-in issues in a moment. But I mentioned those states. Let me give you a breakdown of Alaska, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina. Arizona has 11 electoral votes. Now, according to the latest numbers, 98% of the ballots are counted. 98%. The election was last Tuesday, a week ago tomorrow. It shows currently Biden has 49.5% of the vote, 49% for Donald Trump, a margin of less than 17,000 votes. And yet, based on that close, the Fox News and the AP were able to call Arizona for Biden on election night? You know, even the New York Times and even CNN have not yet said that Biden won Arizona. Of course, they probably have reason to back off now because, hey, it's over. We got Pennsylvania. Well, you got questions about Pennsylvania. Well, the other states still counting. 99% of the estimated vote apparently counted. Georgia has 16 electoral votes. The southeastern state consistently voting Republican since 1996. And you want to believe that Biden won in Georgia? Well, again, if they give it to Trump now, it still won't mean anything if the other numbers stand up for Biden that they've assigned him by the national media. North Carolina. Now, Trump did claim early Wednesday he had won the state. He said, we're up 1.7%, 77,000 votes, only about 5% left. They can't catch us. Well, apparently since that time, his lead shaved about 1.38 percentage points. As of this morning, still too close to call. And provisional ballots are still to be counted. And in that state, as long as ballots are postmarked by November 3rd, state election officials have been given until November the 12th to count them. What is today? Monday the 9th. Monday the 9th. Help me out here. Tuesday the 10th. Wednesday be the 11th. Thursday be the 12th. You've got until next Thursday to finish counting in North Carolina. Alaska, only three electoral votes. 56% of the votes count in Alaska, only 56%. They say, well, we have logistics here in Alaska. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, give me a break, folks. You take this long to count all these, and then when you do count them, are you counting them properly? And in fact, when they were run through the computers in the various states, was that done properly? Or was there mechanisms, software, people in place that kind of did the old switcheroo? Senator Ted Cruz.
On Election Day, Donald Trump won a large majority of the votes counted on Election Day. That was true throughout the country. With mail-in votes that were early votes, Joe Biden won a significant majority of the mail-in votes that came in. Now, in several states, we're going to see a recount process. A recount process, you look at those votes, you determine if they're accurate, if they're fraudulent, if they have sufficient signatures, if they meet the statutory standards for a legal vote. What is interesting is historically, mail-in votes are much more likely to be disqualified in a recount than in-person votes. Generally, in-person votes, they're conducted at the polling place, and then they usually stand. That means what we're likely to see in the next few weeks as the recounts go forward is that Joe Biden's very, very narrow majorities in some of these states, those totals are likely to drop if we see mail-in votes when they're examined being invalidated as contrary to the law.
And the big point there referenced Pennsylvania, where there is a lawsuit underway filed by the Trump team. And they have every reason to question this. They had to file suit saying we're not being allowed meaningful access to be poll watchers. That means you've got to be able to see the actual ballot. You have to be able to see the signature on the ballot. You have to be able to see the postmark if it's a mail-in. And you have to see if it's actually for Biden or Trump. Not just sit maybe 20 yards away and they say, oh, this one for Biden. We're putting it in this pile. This one for Biden. This one. And remember the sudden dump of, I don't know, what's 20,000? I forgot the number now, that suddenly came in overnight in the middle of the night, and they were all the votes were for Biden? All of them? Really? I'm not just trying to cry foul for the sake of it, but I mean, be realistic and look at the issues. And here's another issue. I mean, this should be a paramount concern. When Obama ran in 2008, he set a record votes for a presidential candidate. So much enthusiasm for Obama to get in office. But you know what's being done now with the count we've already been given? Well, first, Donald Trump had 68.5 million votes and will, at last count, will probably go past Obama's record, was just 69.4 million. So very close to probably going past that. But let's just put Trump aside for a moment. Riddle me this. Obama, with all of the enthusiasm, and you could see it everywhere, Obama garnered 69.4 million votes. Joe Biden Joe Biden surpassed his mark. Joe Biden now showing 72 million votes. The guy that never really came out of the basement to campaign, when they would hold their rallies, there might be, I don't know, two dozen cars, maybe 50 cars in the area and people inside. That's about it. They want us to believe that that kind of enthusiasm was propelling him to the White House, that it was so great and strong and possible. I don't buy that story. Now, what you're hearing from some is that, well, now, wait a minute. Let's look at the U.S. population. It's grown by about 26 million in the last 12 years. Now, if that number is correct, how many of those are legal? I don't know. And is that a true census number? I don't know. That's just one of the numbers some of them are throwing around, saying, well, hey, you know, Joe certainly could have had better numbers because 26 million people increased in the U.S. That number by 12 years. But the bottom line is, again, that doesn't mean they're all voting eligible, much less legal. And on top of that, there still was not the enthusiasm for Biden as there had been for Obama. Just wasn't there. And we have a whistleblower in Nevada, by the way. They have finished their count there. They've said that that state is wrapped up. But this whistleblower says in the days leading up to the election, poll workers were processing illegitimate ballots and non-poll workers forming a human wall near a Biden-Harris van to block the view of individuals reportedly filling out what he believes to have been ballots. Now, he swore on an affidavit that he signed. He's also saying that poll workers were instructed to add two zeros sometimes to fill in a registration number. He says, I called attention to others and I was told, shut up, just keep doing what you're doing. He said, what I saw was not ballot harvesting. As a poll worker, I accepted mail-in ballots that voters would surrender to me so they could vote in person. So I know mail-in ballots are pink and white. I know that these were ballots, true ballots. And I saw people regularly walking in with multiple ballots. No, we need to ask that question. We need to ask what happened in Nevada. Senator Ted Cruz again says the door is not closed to Donald Trump.
I believe President Trump still has a path to victory, and that path is to count every single legal vote that was cast, but also not to cast any votes that were fraudulently cast or illegally cast, and we have a legal process to determine what's legal and what isn't.
And again, Senator Lindsey Graham saying, I'm going to encourage Trump, if he loses, to run again in 2024 to keep his movement alive. So riddle me this. What happens if you board up all your stores expecting a riot and there is no riot? Or how about this? What if you have a vaccine for coronavirus, but you decide mum's a word until after the election? Stand by, please.
Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, talking about how she can make it right, yeah.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So today, the word comes out officially from Pfizer that their COVID-19 vaccine has a more than a 90% effectiveness. And we now have apparently passed the 10 million cases, by some counts, 10 million cases of COVID in the U.S. If you believe the count. And, of course, this Operation Warp Speed, which Trump put into effect, Biden had said, I'll do Operation Warp Speed. I'm going to do everything to make everything happen right away. And lo and behold, it appears that Joe Biden has won, and Pfizer says, hey, we got a vaccine, more than 90% effective. I've had more than one person contact me, say they have people in the drug business. I'm just taking, pharmaceutical business. Let me clarify that. And they can't vouch for the source, and I certainly can't vouch for them. It could be just rumor. But it's still out there that some are saying that, and we may find documentation later, that Pfizer had this before the election, but they decided to wait. We do know that New York Governor Cuomo today, while the development, he said, was good news, it's bad news. It's going to arrive while President Trump is still in office. In other words, maybe we don't want to take it until Trump is out and Biden is in. As if that's going to change anything, wait until January. By the way, a reporter for the New York Times wrote today, he was doing a story on the coronavirus. He said, since January, when I began covering it, I saw a consistently glooming issue, a catastrophe experts saw coming. It would go pandemic. Americans are going to die in large numbers. No miracle cure on the horizon. He said, events have moved faster than I thought possible. In other words, he says, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that it's dealing with it. It's unfolding a lot faster than experts initially anticipated. And I might add for him, and as you and the left mainstream media were saying how it would play out, the savior was not going to be the drug company. The savior was going to be the Democrat Party winning the White House, and then we have a vaccine. Well, we still need to, as we were saying a moment ago, and you heard from Senator Cruz, there are several things that still need to be adjudicated, investigated, to decide if, in fact, Trump lost. But Cruz says, no, Trump at this time still has a path to victory. The path is to count every single legal vote that was cast. And we have a legal process to determine what's legal and what wasn't. Again, Senator Graham saying, I want President Trump, if he should lose, to consider running again. And if he can't, let him help lead the party and get someone else in to run for him. And then we come to this issue about all the high-end luxury shops, New York's Fifth Avenue, Chicago's Magnificent Mile, the Rodale Drive in California, and all the other places that were putting up plywood. I passed by a store in the St. Louis area the other day. They were putting up plywood for a Five Below. You know what Five Below is? You go in there, everything in that store, it costs you $5 or less. Nothing over $5. But they were looted in one of the other events that took place when the looters were running crazy in the street. That and a Foot Locker store. So they figure, well, they may come after us again. Not the high-end stuff, but the item's $5 and under. So here's an editorial from the Wall Street Journal today. It begins with this question. Can we take down the plywood over the windows now? With Joe Biden on his way to the White House, can we show our goods again in the storefront, confident that, quote, largely peaceful, end quote, protesters won't loot the place or burn it down? This is Wall Street Journal editorial, and it continues. We thought we'd ask on behalf of America's urban shopkeepers from Beverly Hills to Manhattan who had boarded up their windows in anticipation of post-election violence. Said the streets were filled Saturday with partisans celebrating the Democrat result they wanted. And he doesn't say it, but I'll remind you again. I have never seen that many Democrats waving U.S. flags as I did over this weekend. And I'll bet it absolutely incensed the cancel culture who considers the U.S. flag a slavery signal. But the article, the editorial goes on in the Wall Street Journal. Trump supporters stayed home, no doubt disappointed, perhaps angry, but accepting if they have to. Sometimes your candidate loses. Now, again, it's not really decided. We all know that. But did you really expect, and obviously I didn't, I know many of you, there were not going to be riots in the streets if Trump lost and if that ends up being the final thing? If there are riots in the streets, it's not Trump supporters. It'll be those who just like to use chaos and mayhem. In the next hour, I want to examine several issues with you. You don't want to miss it. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.